All the major news stories made simple and easy for your listening pleasure. We'll break it down for you in keywords. And for this segment, we're joined by Adam in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lena.
Fancy seeing you in a live studio again.
I know. It's good to be back.
It's nice to have you back. Yeah. Let's jump in and take a look at some of these major headlines this morning, starting with our first pick of the day.
Moon at UN.
So President Moon Jae-in has addressed the UN General Assembly for the last time. In line with his administration's priorities, he once again called for an end to the Korean War, peace on the peninsula. Run us through what he has said.
Yes, he said, quote, "I once again urge the community of nations to mobilize its strengths for the end of war declaration on the Korean Peninsula." Those were the words of Moon during Tuesday's speech. Now, the nations he mentions include the two Koreas, the US and China. They all need to sign off if they were to declare an end to the Korean War. Moon added that such a declaration would lead to, quote, "irreversible progress in denuclearization and usher in an era of complete peace." Moon, who has been active in trying to engage with North Korea throughout his presidency, has argued that such a declaration would encourage North Korea to denuclearize. Washington, though, has said Pyongyang must give up its nuclear weapons first, and has been in limbo ever since.
Sure.
Moon has made such calls at the UN before. Sure. It's not the first time. But this year, he's calling on the whole world to join in the efforts as well. So it's a little bit stronger than his last time round. He also called for speedy resumption of dialogue between the two Koreas and between the US and North Korea as well. Moon made no mention of North Korea's recent test launches of ballistic and cruise missiles. That's something that he tends to do. He doesn't really mention any of the provocation, if there were any, when making such calls.
That's much more strategic throughout his administration, right? The idea is for U.S. and South Korea to bring North Korea back to the discussion table. The whole notion has been open for dialogue. So you're right. He didn't mention some of those dying questions about the latest ballistic and cruise missile tests.
Yeah, that's right. He has been a bit reluctant to mention these kind of things just in case they do anger North Korea and put those kind of efforts in jeopardy. But he instead proposed the resumption of an inter-Korean program to get separated families reunited again. So getting these cross-border family reunions back on track. There's been a lot of cross-border and inter-Korean programs that have been put on hold as well, especially amid these frosty ties that they are in at the moment.
All right, on to our some COVID-19 coverage. This is our second keyword of the day.
Pfizer for kids.
So the trial studying the effectiveness and safety of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 5 to 11 have shown promising results. I mean, vaccine safety and efficacy remained a big concern as students returned to in-person classes. So this seems to be a very timely effort.
That's right. Promising results, according to the company anyway, we should note.
Take it with a grain of salt, but this is the latest study.
That's right. Pfizer says early results of its trial indicate the vaccine is safe for children and establishes a strong antibody response against the virus. Giving a two-dose regimen of 10 micrograms administered 21 days apart for children between 5 and 11 years old was well tolerated, according to the firm. That 10 micrograms is actually a third of the dose given to people 12 and older, so it does suggest that a lesser dose is just as effective for this age group anyway. Now, side effects were also generally comparable to those between the ages of 16 and 25 who received the vaccine. Now, these results come as pediatric cases of COVID-19 are increasing amid a nationwide surge of infections in the U.S. Pfizer plans to apply to the FDA by the end of this month for authorization to use the vaccine in these children. Now, whether Korea will follow suit will, of course, depend on whether the relevant health authorities approve the vaccine.
For the age group, right?
That's right. But in the meantime, President Moon is busy with vaccine diplomacy as well. He met with Pfizer CEO actually during his trip to New York to discuss bringing in more doses to Korea. So for the moment, that supply deals are still ongoing at the moment.
Because we still have yet to answer questions about whether or not a portion of the population may need booster shots.
Yes.
Speaking of which, this is our third keyword of the day.
J&J booster.
So turning to Johnson & Johnson now, the company says its COVID-19 booster shot is 94% effective when administered 2 months after the first dose. Tell us more.
Yeah, the one-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine, it's been found to be 66% protective against moderate and severe disease overall worldwide, and 72% protective against such cases in the US. But when a person receives a booster, two shots after getting the one-dose vaccine, the protection against COVID-19 increases to 94%, as you mentioned. Now, a booster shot at 6 months provided a 12-fold increase in antibodies as well. And the firm also said the initial dose of the vaccine actually continued to provide consistent protection against the virus, including against the Delta variant. That finding actually puts the vaccine in stark contrast to mRNA vaccines, which have shown waning immunity over time. Now, the company has submitted all the data it found to the US FDA as well, and is awaiting a response on if it can file for a booster authorization. Now, last week, an advisory panel to the FDA voted unanimously to recommend a booster dose of the Pfizer vaccine for those older than 65 years and for anyone who is at high risk of contracting severe COVID-19 as well. Now, the FDA has yet to decide on the recommendation, and the US CDC is holding its advisory panel meeting this week, in fact, to recommend guidance on booster doses. This all comes as Joe Biden actually wants to get boosters rolled out this week. So there's a bit of conflict of opinions there. Now, the WHO, meanwhile, is repeating its protests against booster shots for the general public. It says richer nations should be giving the extra doses to poorer countries, something that they've been saying over and over again.
The thing is, I've looked at the latest stats, but countries like, actually the entire continent of Africa and countries like Ethiopia, they vaccinated less than 1% of their entire population. So that stark contrast doesn't fare well for us in the long run to fight against this pandemic, right? But each country has to respond to their own as well. So what does it mean for a portion of South Korean population that have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine? We'll have to wait and see. All right, on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Vaccine diplomacy.
So speaking of giving away vaccines for countries that may also need it, President Moon Jae-in has promised to give 1 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines, particularly to Vietnam. Tell us more about this move.
Yeah, so that promise came in a meeting with Moon's Vietnamese counterpart on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. Moon said South Korea plans to give Vietnam 1 million vaccine doses or more next month, so in a very short period of time. And he noted that the two countries have tried to overcome the coronavirus together from an initial phase sharing relevant materials. Now, this would represent Korea's first actual direct provision of vaccines to a foreign nation, except for financial support through the WHO's COVAX program. And the two leaders also agreed that the two nations are optimal partners, vowing to strengthen bilateral relations. Moon in particular requested Vietnam's support for the safety and protection of South Korean people and businesses in that country. So again, some vaccine diplomacy going on, not only with the pharmaceutical companies, but with other countries as well.
All right, on to our fifth keyword of the day.
Shaky stocks.
Oh, stock markets around the world have had a mixed reaction to the concerns over heavily indebted Chinese real estate developers. What happens to global investors when this company defaults? What's the latest?
Yeah, so Asian stocks, let's start off. They were mixed on Tuesday as concerns persisted over Chinese property group Evergrande and its impact on the global markets. Japan's Nikkei closed 2.2% lower. Hong Kong's Hang Seng actually regained earlier losses to end up 0.5%. Now, there are concerns that Evergrande, a major Chinese property developer, is struggling to meet interest payments on more than $300 billion of debt. That is a very hefty number. Now, regulators have warned it could affect the country's financial system, but investors also fear that this could hit big banks that are exposed to Evergrande and companies like it, causing contagion in global markets. So it's not just in China, but of course may have repercussions worldwide. Now, the jitters among the markets also come as the global economy, of course, is still recovering from the impact of the pandemic. Now, US stocks also ended mixed as well. The S&P 500 slipped 0.1% after spending much of the day wavering between small gains and losses. The Dow dropped 0.1% as well. The Nasdaq actually rose 0.2%. European markets closed broadly higher, and the Chinese markets actually remained closed for a mid-autumn holiday, but we'll see how to see how they fared after the markets reopen.
So, of course, discussions will continue. What would an Evergrande default even look like? But in the time being, stock markets are taking the toll.
Yes.
All right, on to the last keyword of the day.
US-Australia submarine deal.
So there has been a lot of controversy over the US decision to sell nuclear-powered submarines to Australia, because it does seem like, according to expert analysis, France was kind of kept in the dark during the decision-making. Yeah. South Korea has been wanting a similar deal, but the White House says it has no plans for such a deal with Seoul.
Yeah, so a White House official said the situation was very different when it came to South Korea.
Didn't really
elaborate on how. The official said Washington had no plans to expand the deal to other allies, so not just South Korea, adding that the so-called AUKUS deal was specific to Australia.
All right.
Now, other allies, as you mentioned, such as France, have been angered by the deal as well. Canberra, in its part, has been accused of going behind the backs of the French to cancel a contract with Paris to supply 12 submarines and replacing it with a deal for nuclear-powered submarines with the US and the UK.
Although Canberra has defended themselves, saying that they need a quieter and a more efficient means, and this was a better alternative. But you're right, it did come under a lot of scrutiny by the French administration.
Exactly, and it called for the French to call in US and UK officials as well, and it's a whole kind of diplomatic mess at the moment.
You're right.
And Seoul, for its part, has repeatedly expressed its interest in either purchasing or producing a nuclear-powered submarine. Mm. If we go back, former President Nguyen Myint Khang launched a covert effort to explore nuclear propulsion in 2003, and the current president, Moon Jae-in, has emphasized the South Korean need for an SSN force. However, the US has been reluctant to provide assistance due to non-proliferation concerns. It's not just under Joe Biden, but those concerns and that reluctance also came under Donald Trump as well. So we'll have to see if any discussions on that matter take place, especially after this deal with Australia, but we'll have to see.
Thank you very much, Anand, for today's coverage. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.